This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, January 5th, as it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today, marks the day before the last day of Christmas. We're talking about the 12th day of Christmas. Today is the day, or the day before, the wise men would have approached the stall where Jesus were. So tomorrow would be that last day or the 12th day of Christmas. So that means tomorrow, all of the Christmas trees are supposed to be coming down and the Christmas decorations. So we look to see if our government is quite aware of the Christmas tradition of tomorrow being the last day of the 12th day of Christmas, right? So that's tomorrow, which marks the 12th day of Christmas. I just want to mention that in case a number of people weren't aware of that Christmas tradition. There are a number of things trending inside the news. Today is going to be an open line since it's an interesting weekend. So therefore, you can call in and participate in the conversation. And I have one or two things that I want to have a conversation about. But I'd be happy to entertain anything that you see that is trending in social media or what is trending in the news. One of the things I found trending that I wanted to have a conversation about is the new protocol for the registration for voters. I attempted to have that sent to Kermit. That's not working. So now I need to see if I could play it through my phone because the conversation is interesting. A number of things is being changed or allowed or to assists in the registration of more Bahamians. It's supposed to be giving more Bahamians access to register to vote. But this particular new protocol made me feel uneasy. So I had to make a number of phone calls to try and understand why they're doing it. And I'm not sure if a number of Bahamians was aware that this new protocol policy is being adopted. And I said, okay, let me have my listening audience be aware of it so they can have this conversation amongst their peers so we come to a conclusion. Mind you, through conversation, I understand the reasoning. And the reasoning is to make sure, encourage the majority of Bahamians to have access to the voting process. And with that, I can't complain. I got to embrace that. But let me play this this news report that was in yesterday's news. Let me see if I can get that up and play. Like I said, I tried to send it to Kermit, but it wasn't working, so I will have to play it via my phone. So I'll do my best to make sure that it's clear and crisp, that you can appreciate it, okay?
I'm Ladon Davis, and welcome to the broadcast. Notable changes have been made to the voter registration process as the nation awaits the announcement of the 2026 general election date. So if you've recently relocated or you've lost your voter's card, listen in for the next steps you should take to adhere or acquire a new one. Here's Daniel Dean.
We have adopted a new policy in reference of transfer voters and persons who lost their voter's card.
The Parliamentary Registration Department is taking on a new approach, and now residents won't have to go through the hassle of presenting documentation like utility bills to obtain new voters' cards.
What we're doing effective today is that you don't need to bring in a utility bill no more. We will have you just swear to an oath or affirm to an oath, and once you do that, you'll be able to address your transfer.
Parliamentary Commissioner Harrison Thompson informed the same goes for the loss of voters' cards. Residents are no longer required to get a police report. Instead, they can go to the department's office and sign an oath to verify the card was misplaced. asked if he believes that the integrity of the process will be at risk with the introduction of this new system. Thompson says they're relying on the fact that Bahamians are upstanding people. And furthermore,
if you give false information, it becomes a criminal matter, so it's up to you.
He hastens voters to get their transfers recorded.
It's important for us to have that process completed before elections, because you might find yourself in a difficult position. You go to the polls and you're not on the register for that particular polling division. Although you have voter's card, they will allow you to vote, but you'll have to vote on a colored ballot. If you moved out of the area, and you've been in the new area 3 months plus, please come in and transfer your registration.
Reporting for the Bahamas tonight.
And that reported from the Bahamas tonight, that's LaDawn Davis. Of course, that's Danielle Dean, who is the reporter who is speaking to the parliamentary commissioner for this general election, Mr. Harrison Thompson. And Mr. Thompson is going over new protocols and procedures. One of the new protocols and procedures, what I said I was uneasy with, and I wasn't sure if the Bahamian people were privy or is familiar with this new procedure, is that one does not have to bring in once upon a time you would have to bring in one of your bills to show that you were a resident of a home, established home. So you would have bring in a utility bill, you would have brought in a water bill or a electric bill, and this would have been used as proof of residence, right? So anyone who wanted to vote or to show that they have a permanent fixture or location, they would have to prove that they live in a particular house, and they would usually would have brought in a utility bill. This used to frustrate a number of people. I know my wife used to be frustrated with it because all of the bills is registered in my name because I registered everything for the house. So even in terms of transferring bills, paying bills, banking information, when they used to ask, okay, can you have a proof of residence? Nothing was inside her name. So I'm assuming the parliamentary registrar is considering that to say that a number of people do not have proof that they live in a particular place. So in order to facilitate that, so we do not disenfranchise voters, particularly new voters and voters who are actually moving, that you can go now and swear oath, you know, put your hand on the Bible and say, I confirm that, yes, I do live at this particular residence. And like I said, I was concerned, right? Because we have a lot of talk about people not living in particular residence, right? And to now have a large number of people coming forward and they have to go on their integrity. And this is the word they use, that the parliamentary registrar believe that on the integrity of Bahamians. And once you swear and say that's where you live, they will acknowledge this as truth. And of course, the consequences, if they found that you don't live there, you know, it's a criminal offense and you can be prosecuted in general. It's just that the Bahamas is made up of born Bahamians and Bahamians who came into citizenship, via citizenship. And I was uneasy, saying, man, the integrity of the voters list could be compromised. Right? And I was concerned whether there should be some kind of scrutiny to prove that the people are living where they say they're living. I was also concerned, even via the pass-by election, where a number of the persons who's doing the profiling said they couldn't find a number of people living inside the area. Right? So when they made this pronouncement, I got a little uneasy. But I understand. I understand because even in Family Island, there are a number of people who just do not have proof of residence. And how do we enfranchise them instead of disenfranchise them and make sure that they are included in their constitutional right to be a participant in the general election? But that being said, with a number of this accusation, no one has proven it, of people with fake passport accusation, no one has proven it. People who are not supposed to vote participating, right? I became concerned. But like I said, I appreciate Mr. Harrison Thompson's explanation of it. And he gave two different explanations. I'm going to talk about the second one. And I see you, Carl. I'm going to come to you right now so you can join in this conversation, because I tell you why I was concerned. But like I say, I understand. The second one, what he made a conversation about, is whether you lost your voter's card. You just lost it. And it needs to be replaced. And prior, if you lose a voter's card, a passport, even your driver's license, you would have to go to make a report to the police. And you make a report to the police and say, I lost my driver's license. I know when I lost my license plate, I had to make a report to the police. And it normally takes a week before the police writes a report or a final report, and you take that to the next place. They send you a sealed letter. So there would have been a sealed letter to the registration, the voters registration people, which was report that, yes, this person has reported that they lost their voter's card. The problem is nothing is in the Bahamas goes as planned in terms of time. Some things were supposed to take a week. Sometimes takes a month, 2 months. If you wait a month, 2 months, you might miss the general election, right? Waiting on the police to write the final report, you might miss the general election. So I understand again, Mr. Thompson. I understand why you're trying to enfranchise Bahamians who are entitled to vote, entitled to participate. So you are making it easy for them. But I am uneasy because these are checks and balances I am used to over the years and say, well, these protect the integrity of our voting system. But let's go to the caller right here. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, good day, Mr. Nuri.
Good day. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, sir. Happy new calendar season to you.
Yes, thanks very much, and happy new year to you.
Yeah. Mr. Nuri, you were talking about
No, I was talking about the new protocols for...
Right, back on track. Yes, I still concerned too, but I still have that concern also, you know, Mr. Nuri, because it seems, right, as if the doors are being opened for people to vote easy in this general election, right? Because that Pandora box was open, right? That needs to be open to the banks and to the police, as you mentioned, because, you know, being able to vote, right, is the most powerful document, in my view, that a citizen could have, because it actually makes changes. So if you can make it that easy for a document as such as a voter's card, I mean, I just should be able to go in a bank or the police and just swear that I had or I didn't have, and all these other things the same way, because you just can't be saying these things and think that everybody can look at it the same. That ain't adding up, man, you know. And then when you can then come back and suggest that you don't need to have proof of, just how we was governed for all of our years, that don't need to exist no more, right? We then having the population, the people in this country, then speculating what's going on in this country. And then here comes the parliamentary registrar, confirming some of the things that people skeptical of out here thinking and talking about, and here it is right now. Because if you're not going to be, if you don't have no identification, then wherever you live in, right, somebody living there should have some proof of them being there. So that's how you're supposed to be able to get some letter from that individual or whatever, so that they could but not to just wipe it off the map and say, no, you don't need it no more. I mean, what is going on, Mr. Nuri?
Caller, I understand. I like say I'm uneasy. I am uneasy with it. I'm not sure if you know, there are people who live in shanty towns who have voters' cards. And see, I have no problem with them having voters' cards because they have citizenship, right? My issue is you cannot register without having a permanent address. and living in a shanty town is not a permanent address. How did you get a voter's card in the first place?
And I agree. And see, those type of criteria, right, will then cause Bahamians who say they are Bahamians, right, and living in shanty towns. Those type of criteria is supposed to push them out of living in a shanty town, knowing that they would not be eligible to take part inside an election simply because a shanty town is not a description for people to be living.
Yes. And I agree with you. I'm not even sure how they get citizenship without having a permanent address. You're supposed to have a permanent address.
It's scary, Mr. Noy, but you know, hey, like in the past, that so much things is happening in this time, you know, I mean, in this world today, because, you know, you see Trump took us right back into the dark ages of taking people's property and thinking you have the right for it. And this world isn't the world that when those things was happening so rapidly. This ain't the same world. The tension in this world is far greater, and people are equipped to defend themselves. And you know, because one person just can't, or one country, or one company, or individual just can't believe that they always have the right to eat when somebody else is starving, man. That just can't be right. Have a nice day, my brother.
And thank you very much, Colin. I appreciate the last comment because that's my second topic I wanted to talk about. The military action that happened in Venezuela, right? The whole world is talking about it. I'm not even sure if I'm qualified to talk about it, or even if I'm comfortable to talk about it, especially in this new dispensation when you talk with certain people, certain things, you might just lose your visa, right? But I can talk about things anyway. I can talk about things. As you know, the United States, and see, I'm going to use choice words because I find a number of people, especially in the Bahamas, but we can talk about the Bahamas, keep it relevant to the Bahamas, tend to separate the president of the United States, Donald Trump, from the United States that he leads. It's the country of the United States, and it happens that the president of the United States is Donald Trump, but he represents, he's that figure that represents the United States. So I would say the word, the United States, had a military operation in Venezuela, right? In this military operation in Venezuela, they forcibly removed the Venezuelan president, and of course they took his wife with him. He's now going to face criminal charges in New York, right? A number of people, I mean, there's a number of Venezuelans who are, especially those who are outside of Venezuela, who are celebrating. There are a number of people in Venezuela who are celebrating too, and of course, there are a number of people there who were saying that's our duly elected president, and you just can't be a foreign entity and come and take people president. And the caller said the U.S. president took the world back to a dark ages, right, or dark age. And I want to remind the caller that this happened before, different presidents. Right? And it happened recently. And I say that as we analyze what is happening, we need to go back, reflect on who were the presidents then, which regime was in power, why they did these things, in order to come to a conclusion on what is happening. Because everyone is speculating on what is happening regarding Venezuela and the United States. Right? We see that a number of maneuvers and overtures and conversations had been happening for weeks. Right? The Caribbean, the CARICOM, has issued statements declaring that the Caribbean in general, its waters, is a non, which kind of word it is? It's a peace zone. That's the word they use. It says it's a non-violence, non-military, non-war zone. It's a peace zone. Right? But I want to mention that in 1965, the United States was involved in a military operation in the Dominican Republic. That's 1965. It's now 2025. In 1983, we know about that, right? The United States, again, was involved in a military operation in Grenada. In 1989, right, the United States was involved in another military operation in Panama. I'm not even going to mention and with Noriega. That was a big thing when I was younger, when I was like in primary school, when they took out the president there too, to Colombia, take him out altogether, right? And don't forget, most recently, there was 2003, a United States military operation in Iraq. And as recent as in 2004, they took out the president of Haiti, just gone into Haiti, and forcibly, I think. I guess that's the right word. I mean, they took the president. I mean, Haiti been in chaos since then. But they took the president, take him out. I'm not even sure where Aristide is right now. I just don't know, right? But what I'm trying to say is this may be considered typical. People mention Kenya and different operations around the world. I was just mentioning a few that happened in our region in the Caribbean and recently, but I want to bring that up. I had a text here. I want to read this text. So going back to the previous topic, it says, "CA, I'm confused. I've lived in the same place, location for 25 years. I have a purple voter's card. Will I need to prove where I live when I go vote?" No, you did not move, so there's no need to prove or bring any need to prove that where you live. When you go to vote, you can either take your purple voter's card or your passport. You don't even need to take your voter's card because they have a counterfoil there, right? And if you take your passport to where you were supposed to vote, and you present it, and they will look at that counterfoil and say, yes, you are registered here to vote. What the government or the voters' registration people are doing now, for people who want to get that smart card, right? You can go there and re-verify yourself with that if you're interested in doing that. But you don't need that. You already have that purple card, and you go and vote. And hopefully, as we get closer to the general election, more information about this or more clarity about this is done. They come on the radio and be interviewed and the explanation. But I want to repeat again, if you haven't moved, still in the same spot, no, you don't need to go and re-register again. You didn't register. They know where you live. There's a counterfoil there, right? And if you don't have your voter's card, misplace it, you don't need that purple card. You could take your passport. There's a counterfoil there where they can look at your passport and they take the copy of it there, and then you could participate and vote. But if you have lost your purple card and you want to get your purple card back, your voter's card back, you can take your passport, I went to Foxhill to do mine again. And I know they have the place in the mall that is doing it too for verification. You can present it to them. They look at their counterfoil and they can write you a new one, right? This text says, this change in the process is to enable migrants to vote. You see, and a number of people are concerned about that. I don't say that's true, texter. But I can read what you're saying because there's a number of fears and concerns that is happening right now, right? But I can address that, and especially in this dispensation where a number of people are concerned about fraud, especially with the integrity of our citizenship in general. This came in a peculiar time where Bahamians are uneasy. You know, they believe in conspiracy theories. So this needs to be hashed out and explained to the Bahamian public, or there will be a number of Bahamian publics who will cling on to the conspiracy theory. I assume similar to this texter who said, this change in the process is to enable migrants to vote. Many do not have utility. The government is engaged in some darkness here. The utility bill is a verification and should remain in place. And like I said, texter, I appreciate the concern, and like I said, that's what made me uneasy. But I also appreciate what Harrison Thompson is trying to do. He doesn't want to disenfranchise Bahamians. Those with a Bahamian citizenship who perhaps misplace their voter's card has the right to vote. They have a right to vote. And whatever they could do to make sure that they're able to vote, he needs to go and pursue it. And he said, now bring your ID, bring your passport, and that's the major ID, the passport. You bring your passport, right? And you do your oath and swear and say, this is where I live. You sign whatever documents or stating that this is where I live, and they will register you to vote. He's a Bahamian citizen. They will register to vote based on that address. Now, if you find out that you lie to them, you're going to jail. Let's let you know, you're going to jail. So that's why they have you swear. You can't swear and think you can get off after swearing and lie to them. They didn't warn you. I have another telephone caller there. Let's go to that caller there, Kermit. Guided Radio AM. We have two topics on the board, but it's an open line Monday. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, what's trending. But those two topics, the military force happening in, or it happened in Venezuela by the United States. And of course, we're also talking about this new procedure for registration. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I got a question. Do you believe, you know how Trump says that he run Venezuela, right? In that, because what I believe, what he's saying is that once they obey what he wants, do what they govern the way he wants them to govern. I mean, economically, you understand me, their policies, you know what I'm saying? Everything is cool. So, and then, you know, he said, well, if the president now, who's there now, she would get worse than what Maduro get. I say, in other words, he's trying to kill her, because he can't get arrested, wasting life in prison.
That's some harsh words there.
He's going to get more than Maduro got. Maduro's going to get life in prison.
And the president of the United States, I believe, is pontificating, and he's good at that. I'm not saying that what he says is not true or not, but he's good at saying that.
Anyway, another thing, right? The same way how Trump says he run Venezuela, he runs the Bahamas and many nations, all the small nations. And that if they don't do what he's asking them to do, he would bring a force against them, whether military or economically.
We are a sovereign nation, and I hear
that's what I'm disputing. We not sovereign. Same like in other words, nobody in the Western Hemisphere is sovereign. You know, even nations in Asia. I mean, in the China Sea, they're not sovereign. The Guam and things like that, they're not sovereign. They gotta allow the UN, United States to run their foreign policies.
And I disagree with you, but I appreciate what you're saying. Right.
That's the way it should be. You know what I mean?
And a number of times the Bahamas. Yeah, that's why I let you speak. A number of times the Bahamas has voted contrary to what the United States has said. And the reason why we were able to vote contrary to it is because we're a sovereign nation. If we weren't a sovereign nation, we couldn't vote contrary.
I don't know if you saw the reaction from the Barbados Prime Minister. You know, they had a security council, and then they had the press asking them questions, right? And they asked her about their reactions, you know, and, you know, she says, well, you know, it's the same thing. They can't go against the United States. You understand me? Because they have to they depend on tourism, because they're a tourism nation. They just like we are, ain't nothing we could do but be run by the United States. Our foreign policies, even our economic policies, all the privatization of our telephone, of our TV, our water.
That is coincidence that our foreign policy and the United States foreign policy are similar. We have the same direction and views as them, and that's why it's very similar.
Remember when we wanted to get oil from Venezuela? Leslie Miller?
And our government decided not to. The countries that sought the oil, all discontinued. It was a right decision at the time that this doesn't pan out. And you find out at the end that it didn't pan out.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, we should agree to disagree. I mean, we go to school and we go on, we have debate panels, You know, that's life. That's the way it is.
I agree.
But like I say, I find, and I have something I want to read. Thank you very much, Carl. I have something I want to read also about Mike, what I call anti-American sentiments that is growing around the world, right? Especially knowing that the United States is our major trading partner and that we have the same views and culture. We have the same views and culture. But I want to read this press release. This is a statement by the Bahamas on the present situation in Venezuela, right? This was written on the 4th of January, which is yesterday, for immediate release, right? Statement by the Bahamas on the present situation, right? Press release, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Nassau, the Bahamas. The Bahamas takes note of the statement of the CARICOM Bureau of the Conference of Heads of Government issued on the 3rd of January 2026 and supports that statement. Of particular importance to the Bahamas is that all parties involved act in accordance with international law. Owing to the current security situation, the government of the Bahamas advises Bahamians to not travel to Venezuela. We have expressed our concern through diplomatic channels regarding the safety and security of a Bahamian national who is currently unlawfully detained in a prison in Venezuela. If you or someone you know is currently in Venezuela and requires consular assistance, please email the consularcrisis@bahamas.gov.bs, and that ends. That's the statement regarding our Bahamian response to what's happening in Venezuela. I think I have a CARICOM response. Let me see if I can find that to read into the record. But in the meantime, what I'll read is the response by the vice president or acting vice president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. And she writes, her name is Delcy Rodriguez, right? Venezuela reaffirms its commitment to peace and peaceful coexistence. Our country aspires to live without external threats in an environment of respect and international cooperation. We believe that global peace is built by first guaranteeing peace within each nation. We prioritize moving towards balanced and respectful international relations between the United States and Venezuela, and between Venezuela and other countries in the region. Premise on sovereign equality, non-interference. These principles guide our diplomacy with the rest of the world. We invite the United States government to collaborate with us on an agenda of cooperation orientated towards shared development within the framework of international law to strengthen lasting community coexistence. President Donald Trump, our peoples and our region deserve peace and dialogue, not war. This has always been President Nicolas Maduro's message and is a message of all Venezuelans right now. This is a Venezuela I believe in and have dedicated my life to. I dream of a Venezuela where all good Venezuelans can come together. Venezuela has the right to peace, development, sovereignty, and a future. And again, that's from the acting president of the Republic of Venezuela, Delcy Rodriguez. Like I said, there's a number of conspiracy theories of why there was a military action in Venezuela. And of course, the taking of the Venezuelan president. A number of people say it's about oil. It might be about oil. A number of people saying it's about international relations with China and their new deal with the Venezuelan government. It might be about that too. I try to make sure, be involved with my comments stay regarding the region and the Bahamas specifically. And I hopefully let these big countries, they discuss these big issues. But of course, the Bahamas is in the Caribbean. The Caribbean is a peace region, right? It sees. And so therefore, we have commentary. And you hear from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that we support the statement by the executive of CARICOM. I can try find that statement shortly, hopefully whilst this caller is engaging me, I can find it so I can read that into the record to see where the Bahamas stance is. Because like I said, our stance is based on our region leaders, which is CARICOM and their official stance. So we got, hopefully I'll be able to read that into record so we can understand and appreciate what is happening. And also, we are speaking about the new policy with the voters registration. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Leary.
Good morning.
You know, I was, something you said, I just wanted to make two quick comments because I was trying to find the procedure with IRCA, right? I was trying to find the procedure with IRCA and lodging a complaint. I just want to get this in first, so I want to pine on your conversation as it relates to this geopolitical nightmare, right? But the thing is, have you ever heard Muammar Gaddafi's speech before the UN General Assembly or the UN Security Council? I can't remember which one. It doesn't even matter. Did you remember it?
I remember it.
All right, but didn't he speak of these same atrocities and the impositions and the way the tactics that they use to get the agenda that they want using the UN General Assembly or the UN Security Council? Didn't he speak about this, the power grab of it? Didn't he speak about the imbalance? So nothing should surprise you, but you said something that our foreign policy, right? For me, I would really like for someone from the Foreign Affairs Office to come and explain the foreign policy. We don't have no foreign policy, as far as I'm concerned. Our foreign policy suits foreigners. Now, I want to get on with if I have a right to lodge a complaint against IRCA, because not because I'm a non-pundit, but I'm non-funded. I'm sick and tired of doctors coming on the radio giving it misinformation about vaccination.
Yeah, you know, you get caught, and I understand your frustration, you know, and I won't stop you from going to IRCA and lodging your complaint about professionals, medical professionals coming on the area on the radio and giving the official position of the Bahamas healthcare system. But we gotta understand this is the official position of the government, right? But like I said, you can also lodge a complaint and we'll see what IRCA, you might be right, we'll see what IRCA says, right? I'm still looking for that particular article that I was looking for from CARICOM, but I'll find it shortly. I got a text saying that Venezuela is not in the Caribbean. So I'm going to read this. Venezuela is partly Caribbean, but is not entirely a Caribbean country. Here is how to break down. Geographically, Venezuela is in South America. Culturally and historically, Venezuela has strong Caribbean ties. Coastline, Venezuela has a long coast along the Caribbean Sea. And several of its islands, like Margarita Island, are in the Caribbean. Regional groupings, Venezuela is often included in Caribbean organizations, such as CARICOM, and as an associate or observer at times, because of its Caribbean Sea connections. So I just want to read that into the record because people were questioning whether Venezuela is a part of the Caribbean. And just for your note, that Trinidad, the Bahamas, and Barbados are not in the Caribbean Sea, but they also are a part of the Caribbean, also included in Guyana and so on. Just for those persons who were texting and questioning why are we saying that Venezuela is a part of the Caribbean? So now you know. Now you know, right? I raised a concern earlier about shanty towns and how persons, residents who live inside unregulated communities, I can call it that, unregulated communities, and how they're able to get official documents in terms of you need an official address. And I think that now is crept into our voters registration too, where you cannot prove where you live, but you can now swear that you live this place. And of course, that will be sufficient. And of course, like I said, Mr. Thompson explained to us in the news report that once you swear in, and if they found that you're not there or you're trying to be dishonest, you can face criminal charges. So, and I'm comfortable with that. We have another caller here. I'm going to read the headline in the National Guardian, which says, government warns against travel to Venezuela, says international law should be followed after the U.S. attack. And we need to find out if the United States broke any international law. And if they did, what is the consequences? I remember what's happened in Ukraine and the United Nations, but they still had to go into the United States for help, right? They have the military. I'm not sure if anyone else in this hemisphere has a military like the United States, right? They helped them. Anyway, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guy in Radio AM, you're live. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You're live.
All right. Listening to you talk about what's going on with Venezuela, sometimes I wonder, do you really believe the president is really running things in America?
Go ahead. Let me see what you're saying.
I mean, I listen to a lot of their talk shows and what's going on in their country. And according to a lot of, you know, the talk that's going on there, he is in his early stages of dementia.
I didn't hear that talk.
You wonder who around him is doing this.
I didn't hear that talk. So,
pardon?
I didn't hear anything about no dementia or anything.
I mean, that's what they talk about a lot over there. I listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Like that could be political spin. They say that about all kind of people when you're doing political spin. I have not seen that as yet. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist.
Almost 80.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Our prime minister is almost 80.
True.
And our prime minister, acute with his information. I mean, anything you talk about, he responds. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome there, Cole. I had a reminder that our prime minister is a matured man also, right? let me hang up that line. Oh, I hope I didn't hang up the wrong person. Call a call back. I think I hung the wrong line there. You can always call back. Okay, you call back. Patch that caller through for me there, Kermit, please. Guiding Radio AM. You're live. Go ahead. I'm talking to you now, caller. You're live. Caller. I can hear you in the background.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, what about this, you see that thing for the new visa? The price?
What's the price for the new visa?
$400 and something dollars for the visa. $185.
Can you still travel on your police record?
Yeah, I guess. They can lose plenty of money, son. I can tell you that much.
Bahamas are prepared to pay anything, you know. Once we make up our mind that we're going on vacation, are we going on a cruise, we can pay the $400.
But guess what? That's almost $500. Imagine a family of five. A family of six.
Yeah, that would be pricey, especially if they're young and no one can pay their way.
Yeah, a lot of crews getting cut up. A lot of US police record, the dress drivers of police record.
Yeah.
You know, but I such a big jump though. And did our foreign affairs I had any dialogue with them to ask them why?
Well, it's for the world. It's not like they're targeting the Bahamas in general.
Believe you me, that's like a target, though. That they help our government out with these illegal immigrants. Believe you me.
You think?
They can afford to get our beam in passport, buddy. But guess what? They get over there. Believe you me. Watch. Watch the road.
There was a press release by Prime Minister Mia Motley Prime Minister Mia Motley has reported fallout for Barbados following the U.S. military action in Venezuela. Speaking at a press conference on Saturday afternoon, Motley said several airline flights had been canceled, while cruise ship operations were also being affected. She said that the situation in Venezuela was one of the major issues discussed earlier in the day of the country's National Security Council. And a number of Caribbean nations, their flights were canceled because of the operations that was happening in Venezuela. As you know, the United States assists a number of Caribbean nations in terms of policing their airspace, monitoring their airspace. And at one point in time, it seems as if their airspace, a number of Caribbean nations' airspaces, were closed, right? So that was interesting to see, and how operations in different countries, Caribbean Today, check your flight status immediately. Most U.S. airline flights are being canceled with significant disruptions affecting departures and arrivals across the region. Contact your airline, monitor official apps, and make contingency plans before heading. And that happened for like 6-7 hours regarding that. So that's something that we should look out to moving forward in terms of policing our airspace. And I think we just got authority about our airspace recently. Another thing that I saw recently trending, we had a statement by Ms. Pia Glover, the MP, and she mentioned that she got some sponsorship from the Cuban embassy, right? And this sponsorship by the Cuban embassy was that they had some Cuban workers donating their time to paint some parks. And the question was whether what happened to the monies that is supposed to be manage the parks, and whether this donation by the Cuban embassy, the Chinese embassy, whether this donation was appropriate. And I said, man, if the embassy want to donate their time and treasures and donate and help the Bahamas, I welcome it. I welcome any embassy, U.S. embassy, the Brazilian embassy, and they have staff who want to come and donate. And I say, let's embrace it. But there was a big hullabaloo about that. And I found that odd for a while on why Bahamians are complaining. But I appreciate the idea that there is a concern about what happened to the monies allocated for the maintenance of said park. So I understood exactly what is happening with that. So that was one of the things that was trending in the news. I see Antigua is in the news. But let's get to this this caller here before I go to Antigua. Antigua is one of those countries who, when the United States raised a concern about Cuban medical officers, they said, no, they're not changing their mind. They're going to keep their medical officers. And they also mentioned that they're not taking any more of their deportees, people who had been deported to their nation, saying they stated that if these deportees are criminals or if these deportees are being sent home, they were rejecting them. Antigua changed their mind. They now yield and said, almost anyone who they send back to the from the United States, they willing to take back. And of course, they had some conversations. So things is changing there. I'm smiling at their president, Mr. Brown, and his tune, right? Because when the Bahamas made a decision that they make it for the best interest of our country, there's a number of Caribbean nations saying, no, why are you bowing? Why are you kowtowing? And now I'm realizing that they all understand. Let's go to this column. Guardian Radio AM, you're live, caller.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Mr. Noe?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Top shape, man. Yes, sir. I want to make a comment. You had a caller about half hour ago. I think his name was 52.
52.
He was talking about I don't know if you were on earlier, right? But I got a gist of it, right? I'll tell you this, right, Mr. Noe, right? Doctors go away to college to learn medicine. You agree with that?
Yeah, man. Doctors go away to learn medicine.
Right. But do you... But Mr. Nuri, there got to be something we can do better, right? My mother, she's 74 years old, right? She's been on blood pressure medication from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? I think we have to find alternative ways to heal ourselves, because the medicine don't really heal our bodies. All the medicine does is mask our symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have enough smart people in this country. I think we have to get together and find alternative ways, because if you take this medication, in a few years, someone else half you need another medication. So I think we have to revisit how we are trying to treat our people with diseases or infections, because the current system, I don't think it's working the way it should work, or it's not healing our bodies.
I agree with you, Nicola. One of the things that I complain or agitate with University of the Bahamas is that we need to tailor the university to respond to the needs of the Bahamas. And one of those needs of the Bahamas is how we our healthcare and how we pursue better health. And we being mostly African descent, we should have African or what we call naturalist type responses to ailments, and just seem as if we have abdicated our responsibilities.
I totally agree. But for me, I'll say this. The doctors, they learn their medicine. I think they know their medicine. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. If I have a car, right, and I have an oil leak, right, the guy says I'm losing one quart of oil a day. I go to the mechanic. He fixes the car. He says, "Boy, you're losing a quarter of a quart a day, right? That's a big improvement, right? But my problem is still ain't fixed."
I agree.
Understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
I mean, we go on artificial intelligence, Google. We know that the root of these plants can heal us. So why are we still playing around with these medicines that cause other sickness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that better ways of healing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. I see. I got a text here reminding me that correct me. Says CA Chinese workers or Cuban workers. They were actually Chinese workers. Forgive me for that. I believe it's Chinese embassy and not the Cubans, the Chinese. Thank you very much, Texter. No one said anything about how the Prime Minister, David's brother, John Canoe, came six. Oh, okay, I can read that. That's not bad. No one is saying anything about how Prime Minister Davis's brother, chairman of the Way Forward John Canoe Group, came in six in New Year's parade. It was a big announcement, man. We all heard the announcement, so I'm not sure what you're trying to say. So, Mr. Nuri, a country is only ever as sovereign as its military capacity to defend against foreign aggression. If you can't defend, it ain't yours. And I see your argument there, Texter. This is where we have international law, when one can appeal. I've seen Caribbean nations sued the United States and won in their international court. So they protected their sovereign. I try to remember that case and which Caribbean nation that was. But that was less than 15 years ago. It was a big case where a small Caribbean nation went up against the big United States, sued them, and won. So that's a way to protect our sovereignty. We are involved in a number of international agencies that through signing these treaties, whatever it is, the treaty itself protects our sovereignty. Right? So I hear your argument about military and might and what sort, but there's different ways for us to prove our sovereignty. It's 12 o'clock. And when it's 12 o'clock, that means it's the end of the show. I enjoyed the show. I had to hash out those two topics, particularly the one with the new procedure about our voting and registration. And like I said, I appreciate what Mr. Thompson said, that you're trying to enfranchise a number of Bahamians who are finding it difficult to register to vote. And those people, he's saying, come. You're Bahamian, you have Bahamian citizenship. And if you've lost your voter's card, come. If you cannot prove having a utility bill, but you can swear that you live here, bring your ID, your passport, identification card, and come get registered. This election is too important for you to be disenfranchised and not participate. So come. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.